You know, right now during this coronavirus pandemic, we are being asked to trust our government leaders as they make decisions. And right now they're deciding how to open up our economy, our society. I saw a picture the other day of the Jacksonville beach. I told Kay it looked like spring break was taking place. I mean, there were hundreds of people on that beach. So, you know, our government leaders are saying, trust us. So we know when you can gather again for church. We are being asked to trust the medical community and researchers as they daily monitor in this health crisis. And as individuals, we are trusting, or at least hoping, that some facial mask will protect us as when we go out into public. Let me say one other thing. Some husbands are trusting their wives with sharp scissors to cut their hair for the first time. And I can speak from experience because my wife worked on me Thursday. And as Zach says, it's dangerous. But I think she did a wonderful job. I'm not going to turn around so you can see all four sides, but I think she did a wonderful job. And I asked her, I said, well, are you interested in opening your own salon? And she says, no, she's not interested in that. You know, we are facing these situations. What do we do? Well, let's remember upon whom our trust is truly to be placed. And he will be our focus today. We have 4 points. Point number one is the God in whom we are to trust. Point number two is what we do when we trust in the Lord. Point number three is what we do not do when we trust in the Lord. And point number four is the results of trusting in the Lord. Well, point number one is the God in whom we are to trust. And verse 5 identifies this God, and he is called the Lord. We are to trust in the Lord. Now, the Hebrew word for trust is akin to the Hebrew word for a place of security or refuge. And so Solomon is telling us to seek a place of safety, security, hope, assurance. Perhaps I should say a person of refuge. For we are to, again, trust in the Lord. We are to seek our safety, not in government, not in those around us, certainly not in ourselves, but in the Lord. Our hope is in the Lord. We are to totally and completely place our confidence, our faith in him. And why can we trust him? Well, let me mention 4 reasons. First, we can trust him because he is a good God. Psalm 31:19 says, oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. God's goodness is great. Psalm 33:5, the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. Psalm 52:1, the goodness of God endureth continually. Friends, everything in life that you and I classify as good comes from the good hand of God. Remember, James tells us every good and perfect gift cometh down from above. And what does this divine gift giving include? Well, Psalm 103 tells us, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, good things. He's a good God. He satisfies our mouth with good things so that our youth is renewed like the eagles. And not only is God good, a second reason we can trust him is he is our heavenly Father. which means if we as fathers, earthly fathers, with an imperfect love, strive to take care to provide for our family, how much more does our Heavenly Father, with a perfect love, give good things to them that ask Him? I like how Moses described God the Father to Joshua. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Doesn't that sound like a father? Our Heavenly Father, He will be with thee. He will not fail thee. He will not forsake thee. So God can be trusted because He is our loving Heavenly Father. Continuing, not only is God good and our Heavenly Father, but a third reason we can trust Him is His promises do not fail. He keeps His word. I like to say this, He is the promise-keeping God. Numbers 23:19 reminds us, God is not a man that He should lie, neither the son of man that He should repent. Hath He said, and shall He not do it? Or hath He spoken, and shall He not make it good? I think of Jeremiah's words to Judah, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore, I will hope in Him. And I say, what a God, what a refuge, what a very present help in trouble God is. We can trust Him because He keeps His word. Again, He is the promise keeper. And so we can rest secure in God's loving, protective care. We can rely completely on His infinite resources. What a wonderful promise-keeping God He is. And then a fourth reason we can trust God is He is God. Think about that. He's God. And this immutable, holy, righteous, just, loving, and good God does not fail those who hope in Him. Earthly friends may prove untrue, but Jesus never fails. And so we can trust this good, this promise-keeping, this caregiving Heavenly Father, for He is God. Here is the ultimate one we can trust in. I say, what a secure refuge He is. We can trust in the Lord. I ask you, is He your trust during these days of social distancing, shelter in place? Is He your shelter in the time of storm? Friends, you can trust in Him. Well, let's look at point number two, what we do when we trust in the Lord. And let me answer that with four statements. And these statements come from our passage in Proverbs chapter 3. And the first is, we trust Him with all of our heart. With all of our heart. Verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And truly to trust this all-wise, all-loving, all-holy, almighty God, who is able to do what He wills and who is wise enough to do what is best, requires, necessitates that we give Him our heart. How do we trust Him with all of our heart? We entrust Him with our heart. We give Him. We yield our heart to Him, and as we do so, we give God our understanding, our discernment, our reflection, our will, which is so much more than head knowledge. Again, it is our heart. We give God our heart, and how important to do so. For we will not run to God for refuge if we have a doubt-filled, unyielded heart. Then secondly, what do we do when we trust in the Lord? Verse 6 says, in all of our ways, we acknowledge Him. meaning our trust in God includes a confession that he is Lord, that he is our Lord. And how do we confess that? Through prayer, through worship. Paul declares, in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests, let your prayers be made known unto God. Doesn't that describe prayer and worship? Absolutely. So we confess, we honestly acknowledge, Lord, you know the way through the wilderness. I acknowledge, I trust your wise judgment. You know, it's good to see a sign of people acknowledging God during this COVID crisis. Maybe you've noticed neighbors, friends displaying a cross in their yard. We've put up a cross. We've had a cross up in our yard. It is almost as if people are confessing that we need the Lord to see us through this crisis. Then the third and fourth things we do when we trust the Lord are seen in verse 7. We fear the Lord and we depart from evil. Now, what does it mean to fear the Lord? Well, the fear of the Lord is a reverential awe of God. It means we take God seriously. We fear his just judgment. We hold him in the highest regard. One author writes, fearing the Lord involves both rational and relational aspects. Rationally, it refers to the knowledge of the Lord's special revelation. And relationally, it involves the wise man's worship of the Lord, a worship that entails reverent fear and love and trust. And of course, the believer who fears the Lord will depart. He will turn away from evil and sin, which means he will seek to do nothing that grieves God or forfeits his care, his blessings, his fellowship. He is always asking himself, can God bless the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart? Can God bless what I'm about to do? He practices 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether therefore I eat or drink or whatsoever I do all to the glory of God. And so the Christian who fears God believes and practices Job 28, verse 28, and unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. Again, what do we do when we trust in the Lord, when we seek our refuge in him? There are four marks of this trust. We give him our heart. We acknowledge and confess him as Lord. We reverence him. We fear him. And lastly, we walk uprightly. We say no, no to sin. Remember, God and sin do not mix. You can't truly trust in the Lord if you're harboring sin in your life. Now, let me ask you, are you trusting in the Lord? Does he have all of your heart? Is he the one you are following? Do you fear God? Are you departing from evil or running towards it? Such a trust means you can testify, I am dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. I am abiding in the shadow of the Almighty. Therefore, I can say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. Well, we come now to our third point. And that is what we do not do when we trust in the Lord. And there are two things in our passage. Notice verse 5, we do not lean on our own understanding, which simply means we don't trust ourselves. And verse 7 gives us the second thing we do not do. We are not wise in our own eyes, which says we are not proud, hubris, arrogance do not mark our lives. Remember, pride always causes us to place our trust in ourselves and not in God. And so we confess that our innate understanding and wisdom are not adequate. And the reason we know this about ourselves is we believe what 2 Corinthians 1:9 tells us, but we have the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead. When we humbly understand ourselves as we ought, when we understand ourselves rightly, we find that our ability to judge correctly, to make right decisions, to be like leaning on a broken reed, which will certainly fail us. In fact, it will pierce our hearts, and it will eventually bring us death. Solomon doesn't mince words when he says in Proverbs 28, 26, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. He's a fool. Jeremiah states in Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 5 and 6, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like a heath or a shrub in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land and not inhabited. But then Jeremiah tells us about the blessed man. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see or fear when heat cometh, but her leaves shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. And then we have a summary statement in verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, and who can know it? And so why trust ourselves? What kind of effective refuge can we be? Lean not unto thine own understanding. Matthew Henry says, he that puts confidence in man puts a cheat upon himself. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Remember, true wisdom comes from God. And who does God give wisdom to? God gives wisdom to the humble, to those who run from the evil of pride. He gives wisdom to those who hold him in highest esteem, those who reverence him, those who worship him. He gives wisdom to those who walk uprightly, to those who depart from evil, and to those who trust him. Friends, we need the wisdom of God. And so again, when we trust in the Lord, when he becomes our refuge, we do four things. We give him all of our heart. We acknowledge him as Lord of all. We reverence him. We depart from evil. And at the same time, we don't do two things. We don't trust in ourselves. We don't allow pride to control our heart. Which then means, and this brings us to our last point this morning, we experience the blessings of trusting in the Lord. We experience his rewards, God's rewards, when we trust him. Think about that. God rewards us. God blesses us when we trust him. And we see those blessings in verses 6 and 8. And the first is a spiritual blessing. Solomon states, and he, God, shall direct thy paths, meaning he will make our paths straight. He will remove obstacles from our path that cause us to stumble and to fall. He will make our path smooth, meaning those who follow God's wisdom will have less problems in life. And why can I say that? Well, we will bypass sin and its ruinous consequences. You know, friends, sin never produces anything good. And then God will bring us to our appointed end. And again, what a promise this is. He will direct our steps. And don't you think of when God is directing our steps, he directs us in the most beneficial and helpful and wise and nourishing and protective way? Absolutely. Our road through life will be spiritually safe and blessed. We will know that God is working all things together for our good. God will give us the strength and the wisdom to turn aside from the path of sin and destruction, to walk in the way of life everlasting. Our divine pillar of cloud by day that provides protection from the sun's heat, and our divine pillar of fire by night that combats the cold of the desert, will lead us aright and bring us safely and securely to our promised land. And how can we describe this promised land? Proverbs 1:33 says, "But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil." I love that. Whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Friends, that's powerful. If you want to dwell safely in this day of uncertainty with this virus all around us, if you want to dwell safely, you hearken unto God. And can I tell you from personal experience, my life is much smoother when I am walking in the paths of righteousness that when I'm walking in my own way. The day simply goes so much better. And when frustrations do come, and life is filled with frustrations, God gives his encouraging peace as I cast those frustrations, those disappointments, those burdens on him. Cast thy burdens upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. But then verse 8 gives us a second blessing of trusting in the Lord. And we can call this a physical blessing. It shall be health to thy navel or to thy body and marrow to thy bones. Solomon is telling us here, you will have a healthy body, you will have healthy bones. Both externally, the body, and internally, the bones are well. There is a physical, mental, and emotional wellness. What is this bone marrow? Well, it's a spongy substance found in the center of our bones, which produces blood cells. And each type of blood cell made by the bone marrow has an important job. For example, red blood cells carry oxygen to the tissues in our body. Platelets help blood to clot in order to stop bleeding. White cells fight infection. Friends, God gives a physical refreshing to the man who trusts in him. Job 21:24 speaks of bones being moistened with marrow, which means we won't be like David, who forfeited both the physical and spiritual health until he confessed that he had sinned against God. Remember his words in Psalm 32, verses 3 and 4. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me, and my moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Verse 8 of Psalm 51, David also said, "Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice." And so again, what awesome and amazing results come to the heart of the Christian who trusts in the Lord with all of his heart. Friends, it's worth trusting in the Lord. Those who lean not into their own understanding, those who in all their ways acknowledge him, who are not wise in their own eyes, who fear the Lord, who depart from evil, God will direct that person's steps, and God will give his body and his bones the health he needs, again, spiritual and physical wellness. Now, these days, plagued by sin and death, we need a sure refuge. We need to find our safety and security not in government, not in those around us, and surely not in ourselves, but in a God who is always good and always right. And so, perhaps you're asking, well, Pastor, why did you preach this message to us today about trusting in the Lord? Because Isaiah 26:3 tells us, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. I want you to know of this peace of God that passeth all understanding, that keeps, that garrisons, that protects your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. He asked me this week, what have you learned, or what are you learning through this time of social isolation? And I said, well, I've learned that I can live without sports. I can make it through the day without sports. But then I truly believe I'm learning that I don't have to be anxious, that there is a God in heaven upon whom I can place my trust. And he truly does give me his peace. He truly does give me hope. And I need that. And friends, you need that as well. You need his hope. You need his peace. I heard a psychologist this week speak of the emotional and psychological damage of social distancing. He said it's not healthy, it's not wise. But whether we have to socially distance or not, you and I can experience and enjoy spiritual and physical wellness of spirit, soul, and body. We can have that wellness even now. We can have that peace even now. So my admonishment to you is trust the Lord. Trust in the Lord, and you will experience all that God, in his gracious love and mercy, wants to bestow upon you. He is our life. He is our salvation. He said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I think of those verses in Psalm 91, and I'd like to close with them. Psalm 91, verses 9 and 10 tell us, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. And then these are words that God says to you and God says to me, because he has set his love upon me, therefore, these are God's words to you and me, I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. What an awesome God we can place our trust and faith in. Oh, I pray that if I haven't described your heart, that you will turn your heart to him. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Trust him. We sang about that this morning, that he is our hope. He is our grace. Trust in the Lord with all your heart.